The following is a recording of the Thomas Paine Unitarian Universalist Fellowship. We are located in Collegeville, Pennsylvania. We are also located on the web at www.tpuuf.org. Please come visit us.
It doesn't matter if you love him or capital H-I-M-M-M-M-M-M. Just put your paws up, because you were born this way, baby. My mama told me when I was young, we're all on superstars. She rolled my hair, put my lipstick on, in a glass of her boudoir. There's nothing wrong with loving who you are, she said, 'cause you made you perfect, babe. So hold your head up, girl, and you'll go far. Don't be a drag, just be a queen. Don't be a drag, just be a queen. Give yourself prudence and love your friends. Subway can't rejoice the truth. In the religion of the insecure, I must be myself, respect my youth. A different law is not a sin. Believe capital H.
Our welcome this morning is responsive, so please join with me, join in the responsive words on the bottom of the slide. You are beloved and you are welcome here. Whether tears have fallen from your eyes this past week or gleeful laughter has spilled out of your smiling mouth, you are beloved and you are welcome here. Whether you are feeling brave or brokenhearted, defiant or defeated, fearsome or fearful, you are beloved and you are welcome here. Whether you have untold stories buried deep inside or stories that have been forced beyond the edges of comfort, you are beloved and you are welcome here. Whether you have made promises, broken promises, or are renewing promises, you are beloved and you are welcome here. Whatever is on your heart, however it is with your soul in this moment, you are beloved and you are welcome here. In this space of welcome and acceptance, commitment and recommitment, of covenant and connection, let us worship together.
You are beloved and you are welcome here.
Truly. You are beloved and you are welcome here. There are days when that welcome, when that belovedness feels true in our very bones. There are days when even when we hear or when we say those words, we don't feel welcome or we don't feel beloved. Let our time together here always be a striving to make that welcome, to make that belovedness of everyone more obvious. I am Reverend Andrew L. Weber, and I'm so happy to be here in this community of ministers this morning. Your presence here, your ministry, is what creates our fellowship. You who joined online today, you who are here in person, your individuality makes, creates, and sustains this beloved community. You are beloved, and you are welcome here. As Unitarian Universalists do across the globe and across the country today, we mark the start of our holy times together with the lighting of a flame in a chalice. This is the symbol of our living, life-changing, and love-promoting faith. As we light this flame of hope, may our congregation become a kaleidoscope of souls and people, an abstract flame-like pattern in bright gold colors and a black background. In the presence of this flame, in me, in you, in us, is an invitation to sit at the table. May we tend our soul fire through these challenging and trying times to open the hearts and minds of all who enter our door. Each morning we kindle a second flame with a desire for peace in this world and peace in our hearts. Please respond with the text on the screen. May peace be with us. Our gathering hymn today is number 188, Come, Come, Whoever You Are. If you want a hymnal, they're in the back on the table, on the movable table there. The screen will also have the lyrics and the music, so please rise in body or in spirit for our gathering hymn. I come today with a question. I mean, that's the question right there. This month, we are asked to reflect on what it means to live love through the practice of inclusion. So I'm going to start our service with this question. What is inclusion? And it's going to be a tough question. I think especially as this word inclusion has become politicized very recently. Like, what does that mean? What is inclusion? Right? It's given certain connotations. So you may reflect on that. You may reflect on your own personal views of what inclusion means for you, what it means for other people. And with the help of John on the tech team, I'm going to try to have a live word cloud. And if you're like, I know what those words mean, but not together, that's okay. Don't worry. We'll have a live word cloud, which will show, hopefully, our responses. So feel free to click on the link in the order service, or we tested this already. You can get out your phones if you have a smartphone, point it up here at this QR code, and it'll say, do you want to open this website? And you just say yes, and you go to it. Or you can type in this link right here, too. And if you can't do that, or if you don't have a smartphone, lean over to someone next to you who does and work with them. Or if you need to come up and come forward, that's fine. But what it should do is bring up a survey, and it just says, what is inclusion? And you can put 1 to 3 responses of what inclusion means to you. If you're online, you should be able to see that. John maybe can put the link in the chat. And if you're having troubles, just chat back what you think inclusion is. Okay. And once people have this, let's have a little bit of background music as we submit responses to what inclusion is. You can continue to add words or word through the service. I'm going to try to come back to this so we can see this again. But here are our live responses. I can put the link up again. Yeah. I can absolutely do that, John. Thanks. So you can continue to add to this, but we're going to move on. And I think after you put in your response, you can actually see the cloud too. Is that true? Great, perfect. So you can all see it, and we'll try to come back to this. Okay, thank you.
Good morning. I'm Ann Rostosky. Thank you all for braving the elements to come out today. I'm going to give a little introduction to today's topic. We know that religious spaces haven't always been welcoming places for all people, especially when it comes to gender and sexuality. Unitarian Universalism wants to change that reality. In the 1980s and 90s, when the word welcoming became a code word for lesbian, gay, and bisexual people, the Unitarian Universalist Association launched a welcoming congregation program to help us learn how to undo homophobia and later transphobia in our hearts and minds, our congregations, and our communities. Today, most Unitarian Universalist congregations are recognized welcoming congregations. TPUF was recognized as welcoming congregation in 2007, thanks to the work of this community under the leadership of Phil Manos, Lilia Weber, and me. Over the years, we have done additional services and programs around being welcoming, including a decade celebration in 2017. Not sure many of you are here to remember that, but some of you are. Nationally, many welcoming congregations confess to not having updated or reviewed their LGBTQ plus programs and outreach since their recognition. As such, the UUA unveiled a welcoming congregation renewal program in 2015. Their goal is to honor your original pledge. It's essential that new people in the congregation, as well as people who were originally involved in the program, understand your congregation's commitment to this work and learn about the current needs and concerns of LGBTQ plus people. This is work that Thomas Paine can continue to engage with. The work of welcome is never done. Welcoming congregations can learn more about how to be truly welcoming to all people by renewing their commitment. The UUA has unveiled a renewal process to ensure that our Unitarian Universalist congregations are living into the welcome that we boldly proclaim. In order to remain current, welcoming congregations must renew the five practices of welcome every year. The five practices of welcome renewal are: become a welcoming congregation, which we have done, have welcoming worship services, recognition of welcoming days of observance, incorporate welcoming religious education, and support a welcoming project. Even as we recognize that the work of welcome is never done, we affirm that all of who you are is sacred. All of who you are is welcome. Thank you.
Thank you, Anne, and thank you, Phil, for the work you've done in our congregation in the past and in the present, and I'm not putting this on you, but for the future also. I thank you for that work. Here's the thing, I'm actually not promoting. I'm not gonna say we need to do this process. We need to go through this and renew every year. I'm not gonna say that. Because this process, this certificate, this program are there to recognize something that we are striving for. What I want us to do is engage with the ongoing ministry of welcome. The criteria are formality, right? If we are just checking boxes, then we might not even be doing the work of being welcoming. The criteria should be a marker of a deeper truth in this community. And we can be welcoming and inclusive without the certificate, even though the five practices are a good place to start. And this is a question I'm putting back on the congregation. We're looking at our strategic plan. Is this something that we want to focus on? I see some nods. I see, interesting. I put that back on you. But enough about processes, right? This is like, okay, that's great, that's neat, there's work to be done. But sometimes stories can speak better truths than words and certificates. And actually, I'm gonna ask Anne to come back up and we're gonna share a story together, Anne and I. You may come forward to see the book. It will also be on the screen behind us. I don't know how exactly. Do you want me to, I'll stand up here, you stand there? Is that good? Great, perfect. The book is Kindness Grows by Britta Teckentrup. And it's a cutout book, which is really neat. And you can see how this works. Hopefully you'll be able to see it in the pictures up there. And this book will be around during the potluck. So stay for the potluck. Don't get food on my library book. But look it over, because those pictures, those cutouts, speak truth also to these words. Kindness grows. It all starts with a crack that we can hardly see. It happens when we shout or if we disagree.
Oh, it's a little different up there. But with every kindness that we care to show, something good and magical will begin to grow.
Friendships can be damaged by a mean or ugly word. Once it has been spoken, it cannot be unheard.
Words of encouragement, sweetness, warmth, and care blossom, grow, and flourish as they spread love everywhere.
If we leave friends abandoned, sad, and on their own, soon the crack will widen and we'll be left alone.
Sharing things with others, making a new friend, will begin a journey we hope will never end.
It's so hard to be friendly when all we feel is sad. Sometimes we are the thoughtless and we make others feel bad.
But a kindly thought or action can make somebody's day. If we could keep our friends close by, we won't drive them away.
When we argue with each other or we refuse to share, the crack grows even wider, but we don't know that it's there.
Playing all together is always much more fun. We have a lot of space here for each and every one.
Sometimes we are selfish. We shout and stomp our feet, feeling annoyed and angry with everyone we meet.
But when we work together, just look at what we can do. Anything is possible when 1 + 1 = 2.
Anger can consume us until we just can't see the beauty that's around us, the moon, the stars, a tree.
If we lean on one another and keep our friends around, we make each other happy, warm, and safe and sound.
The crack has grown so wide now. Can we ever make things right?
If we reach out to others, then maybe we just might.
It only takes a gesture. A smile can be the start.
To spread the seed of friendship and touch somebody's heart. Reaching out to others is not as difficult as it seems. If we all join together, we can chase our dreams.
Our tree will grow much stronger the more we show the care built from love and kindness and the friendships that we share. Did you catch that? It all starts with a crack we can hardly see. Juxtaposed to, with every kindness that we care to show, something good and magical will start to grow. Right, this is the fact of those holes cut out. We can create the tears in relationships. We can foster connections. It's up to us. I have a reading today which takes this in a different way, because when I'm talking about inclusion, we're talking about friendships, we're talking about the LGBTQ plus community, we're talking about all the differences we have, theological, cultural, racial, these differences that we create, the differences that exist within us, that culture puts on us. There's so many differences we have and so many ways we can be inclusive. This piece is by my colleague, C.B. Beale, and they write about inclusion or colonization. And I know right off the bat, like I see that, I read that title, I'm like, oh my gosh, I am reacting to this. So I invite you to hear their words, to hear the truth written in them, and to, actually C.B. also marks this too, to feel your feelings as they are. It's a social media post from C.B. Beale, when they write about what inclusion means, especially from a place of privilege. Dear my people, especially, but not only my white people, my cisgender people, my heterosexual people, my neurotypical and able-bodied people. When those of us who have privilege and positions of responsibility and control within our institutions, congregations, and organizations mean to be inclusive, we must carefully examine what we mean by that word. Too often we mean that we are excited to share this thing that we have. That is absolutely fabulous, life-saving, meaningful, exactly the way we have crafted it, and mean that people should come fit right into what it is. It's generosity that leads us to want to share it because other people should have it too. So we put out a call that if people would just come join us, they too would have their life saved in some way. But when we are part of the majority culture and are leaders, formally or informally leaders, we, or people like us, were likely in charge of the original creation. Because of this, our default is to have already created this thing we have just the way that is most perfect and comfortable for ourselves. But inviting others to fit into this thing we already have is not inclusion. People who join an organization or society or group should not be expected to leave their whole selves at the door and become just like us. They should not be expected to enjoy everything about the way we do things in order for us all to be together. People need different things to be present, to feel welcome at home. People need different kinds of structures and ways of make meaning together and ways to serve. The ones who need this thing we have, just the way it is now, are likely already here. If at the core of this thing we have, there is something truly life-saving, we must shift and sort what is necessary for this thing we already have, from what is just habit that privileges us within it. As we go through sifting and sorting, we may learn that some of the ways we do things or speak may be hurtful to those others to whom we generously wanted to reach out to. For those of us who have worked so long and hard to create and sustain the incredibly meaningful this thing we have, finding out that some things we do hurt others, causes harm, well, that feels some kind of way. Sometimes our thinking and feeling response goes like this. We know that we are not the kind of people who intentionally hurt others, so that can't be right. We act quickly and reject the implication that we are people who create harm. And if we didn't mean to hurt or exclude them, it must, our thinking goes, be their fault. After all, this thing we have is amazing and life-saving. It takes only an instant for us to become sure that those people just aren't right for our group. They are mistaken, they misheard what we said, they misinterpreted what we did. Because if we are not the kind of people who would cause harm to others, it must be them. But it is we who are making the decisions. Can you tell the problem here? Or some of us react with shame and freeze or try to push the feeling in the situation away or feel awkward, confused, bereft, agitated, generically upset. People come with their own values, their experiences, their practices, their perceptions. Our responsibility, if we truly believe that what we offer is life-saving, our responsibility is to grow, to learn, to change, to make space and flexibility. That means we must start that learning and changing now. Even as we put out an invitation, we start to learn what is necessary and begin to change what we can in order to prepare a way. I'm all about the invitation to curiosity, noticing, breathing into a movement, a moment, and moving forward one move at a time. Notice not just your thoughtful reaction, but your emotional one as well. If your reaction to this point was immediate denial and rejection, or the also unhelpful feeling of shame, and it's a natural reaction, notice it. A feeling is just a feeling, but also it is information. So don't stop there. Don't abandon reflection simply because you had a reaction. I invite you to take a breath and remind yourself that it is a commitment to the practice of preemptive radical inclusion. Preemptive radical inclusion. That we reject the shame which freezes us and instead lead with curiosity. Ask yourself a few different questions. What are the specific points that I am uncomfortable with? If it is true, what would that mean? And if it is true and I'm just now realizing it, what can I do next? What are the ways my actions and speech in my congregation or organization cling tightly to the way we've always done it? And how can I loosen my grip? And for all of us, this, what would it mean? What would it mean if the way we cling to control of the patterns and processes of our institution was on the continuum, not of democracy, but of colonization? The words of C.B. Beale. Let us ponder those challenging words and thoughts as we sing an aspiration of guidance from love. Number 131, love will guide us. And of course, you may rise in body or spirit.
Has tried us, hope inside us will lead the way on the road from greed to giving. Love will guide us through the hard night. If you cannot sing like angels, if you cannot speak before thought, you can give from deep within you. You can change the world with your love. Love will guide us. Peace has tried us. Hope inside us will lead the way on the road from
All right, let's try this again. I was happily surprised at the first time. Let's try it again. We heard about the welcoming congregation process and our place in it. We've sung about love. We've listened to a story about the power of our actions to create division or to create connection. We've heard a reflection about inclusion versus colonization. And we're invited to listen to our own feelings. So now I ask you again, what is inclusion? We'll see if the technology can keep up and maybe you need to refresh or resubmit or whatever. I don't know. I claim no knowledge of this past what the website has told me it can do. So let's look at this cloud. If John, if you can pull up that cloud once everyone has this link. And we'll see the ever-evolving definition of inclusion that we are putting together here. Size is based on how many times it was put in. So this is good for me to know that this worked a little bit, maybe not exactly as we expected. Acceptance, welcoming, understanding. This is what is inclusion. Together, equality, loving, caring, thoughtfulness, belonging. Everyone, non-judgment, openness, thoughtfulness. Defect in a gem. Acceptance and bridges, beloved community, same opportunities. What else has come up?
Action. Flexibility.
Flexibility. We have some online.
Susan Hare had included belonging.
Belonging, yeah.
Adapting to change.
Curiosity. Curiosity, yeah.
Open.
Open. Yeah. Thank you all. I encourage us, anything that's mulling around, whether you're reacting against or feeling uplifted or challenged or supported, to continue this conversation at the potluck brunch. To stay, to talk, and be like, oh wow, I really did not like that reading, or man, I'm thinking about this for what we could do to be welcoming. This is a safe space where we can have those conversations. We pause now for matters of the heart.
I'm Cindy Westfall. I'm from the CARE team. And just a reminder that the CARE team is here for all of you, all of us. And we invite you to reach out to us anytime through our email or any one of us. And you know who we are, I think. But if not, see me afterwards and I'll tell you who we are. At this point, for matters of the heart, We bring our whole selves each and every week. That is one of our religious imperatives, that we bring the hurting, the celebrating, the joyous, and the heartache. We are called to be ourselves completely, while also allowing others to be themselves completely. Each week, we take time to specifically recognize this part of our faith by sharing from deep within these joys and sorrows which come out and must be shared with our community. This is that time for all of us. If you're so moved, please come forward, introduce yourself, and speak loudly. I'm sorry, not loudly. Speak into the microphone board. Whatever you want to speak loudly, that's okay too. From the abdomen. Am I speaking loudly? For those joining online, you may raise your physical or virtual hand and we will unmute you so you can share also. Come, let us listen to one another.
So we will bring this time of sharing to a close. We're going to sing Spirit of Life, and I believe this video will play it through twice, so just want to give everybody a heads up on that.
Everybody shared, which I think ties in with everything that we were talking about today, especially inclusion. Thank you for sharing from the Beals and your celebration next Saturday. Hopefully we can all come out. And Jerry, your celebrations. I know you've been going through a hard time with your family. So that's the reminder to all of us that there's a light at the end of the tunnel, that there's triumphs in sadness. And that if we hang in there and take care of one another through the hard times with kindness, that the good times are just around the corner and we can all celebrate together. Thank you.
There it is, closing hymn 121, "We'll Build a Land." Please rise in body or in spirit. We continue to carry these flames of peace, hope, love in our hearts as we extinguish our chalices. We are a covenantal faith tradition. That covenant requires growth as a religious imperative. We are a faith tradition with radical universalism at its core, which requires a joyful invitation. It requires we pull up an empty chair and anticipate someone hungry or ready to serve or both in one. And when they come, it requires we look deeply in their eyes and say, "We've been waiting for you. Welcome home. Amen and blessed be."